WRMN Radio.
Welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Not too bad. How are you this morning?
Oh, great. Hey, great football game last night.
Oh, at least we won it, huh?
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, the defense, that goal line stand was phenomenal.
Oh, it was. It was outstanding.
Alex Brown, I think, should have got the game ball for his Herculean effort. Stopping it on fourth down. That
now,
was
did
great.
You watch the entire game all the way to the end?
Yes, I did. I was playing cards at the time.
Okay,
too, so I might have missed a play or two, but
well,
basically, yes.
At the end of the game, they give out the horse trailer player of the game. They gave it to the entire defense for that for that stop, and I thought that was wonderful.
Right.
That's exactly who should have got the game ball.
Right, and I can see that too, because it really was a whole team effort.
Well, all definitely. 11 guys were stacked up on that line, and just it was awesome.
I think that was really a bad call. I think John Madden called it. He said, why not send
McNabb on a boot?
On
yeah, no one's going to stop that guy.
Right.
He's fast.
Right.
He's big. He could have scored if he just kept the ball. I think so.
But,
and I'm not rooting for them at all. They did the right thing. They botched it. That's great. We've been known to botch a few plays. Like that fourth down two weeks ago, we gave it to the fullback. You don't do stuff like that.
It's amazing they won the game considering all the turnovers.
Yeah, lots of turnovers in the game. Lots of turnovers.
And in the deep zone, too, the red zone, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was all right. All right, and the Cubs are facing the correct team in the playoffs. For them, I think the easiest route is the L.A. Dodgers.
Yep,
I'm glad they're not playing the Mets.
Well, they're going to run into trouble if they beat the Dodgers when they face probably the Phillies, and I think that's the matchup that they're all looking for to be the best matchup of the National League.
Exactly.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That should be a really great series. I do think, if the Cubs just play their game, they'll win.
Well, I think the Cubs will win everything this year if you really get down to it. They're the best team out there.
Best team out there.
Yep.
I guess the Angels.
Yeah,
right.
The Los Angeles, Anaheim, California Angels,
whatever
you want to call them. Yeah, right?
The Disney World, Disneyland Angels. I think that would be a great World Series.
Oh, okay, okay. I think the Rays are going to make it from
Tampa
Bay.
Or the White Sox.
Well, if White Sox and Cubs play, it's going to be Armageddon. It's going to be the end of the world.
The city will not be or even standing, probably.
We'll prove once and for all we're not ready for the Olympics, that's for sure.
Right. But I don't know, the Sox aren't acting as if they're World Series champs, right?
No,
now.
They really lackluster out there, like they don't even want it, so.
All right, enough sports.
Okay.
Let's move on to some really, really serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really, really serious stuff. I remember probably decades ago talking with a customer of mine as I was doing my work in the painting business who was a regulator for Fannie Mae, and he really wasn't your typical what I would stereotype as a typical bureaucrat liberal.
Mm-hmm.
He was a pretty conservative man. I would think conservative ideas about financial institutions, and having the financial educational background that I have, studying Austrian free market economics. I knew back then that the whole system was based on a house of cards, and eventually, I didn't know when, eventually it had to collapse. And I, pointed this out to him. I said, what's going to happen when Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac collapse? It could start the house of cards,
Yep.
And he says, oh, there's absolutely no chance of that. The government will never bail. If they actually did fail, the government would never bail them out. Never. And I just kind of, okay.
Right.
But that's exactly what has happened, and House of Cards is falling. And if one studies, and I really recommend anybody who wants to understand what's going on with this financial crisis, go to Mises.org, I believe it is. M-I-S-E-S.org. I'm hoping it's not Ludwig von Mises Institute. If you search Mises Institute, you'll find it. I believe it's Mises.org, M-I-S-E-S. Or Lou Rockwell, L-E-W-R-O-C-K-W-E-L-L.com. There'll be a variety of articles that really explains the situation well. But considering this kind of moves into segues into the stupid and or outrageous regulation of the week, and that is, to me, the bailout that's going on. And I've got two aspects of the bailout that I'm going to read that are just really scary. This is a quote from the bill that's going to be decided on. Decisions by the Secretary pursuant to the authority of this act are non-reviewable and committed to agency discretion and may not be reviewed by any court of law or any administrative agency. Now, what this means, of course, it's patently unconstitutional on its face because Congress can't pass a law stating that this law doesn't have to be subject to the constraints of the Constitution. You can't pass a law like that. You can't say, well, this law is not subject to constitutional review. So it's unconstitutional, but it's really scary what they're trying to get away with and what may get away with, because the Supreme Court ignores the Constitution all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
they could take over financial institutions, private property, and not even have it reviewed in court. This is a financial governmental dictatorship. It's really socialism to our financial institution has come to fruition if this passes. And dictatorship. No review. This is just outrageous. How any American could vote for this bill is just beyond me. Here's another part of the section. Section 2B. 3 authorizes the Treasury Secretary to be designating financial institutions as financial agents of the government, and they shall perform all such reasonable duties related to this act as financial agents of the government as may be required of them. So, I mean, the way I read that, the financial institutions have become just agents, just arms of the government. The government has completely taken over the financial aspect of our economy, completely, if this passes. This is what all the conspirators have been warning us about and all have been laughed at. And it's happening right now as we speak. There's very little support of it, and yet it may pass. It may pass. It's really scary. My prediction is this first round is not going to pass. They say there's going to be no amendments. This is vote up or down.
Mm-hmm.
Either you vote it down and the economy is going to collapse. That's their warning. Well, we may plunge into depression, but the fact is if we pass this bill, it's going to be even worse. It's going to forestall the day of reckoning, and it's just going to continue the total control of our system, of our economic system, and you can kiss freedom, any kind of financial freedom, completely goodbye. This is really scary, folks. I would suggest you all contact your congressman and urge them to vote against any bailout bill, especially bailout bills that have these kind of provisions to it that just give away the last vestiges of any financial freedom we have left in this country.
It's not good news.
Yeah. We are going to have a guest today. He's from the Heartland Institute. In fact, Heartland's going to have their annual benefit dinner coming this Thursday night. We'll talk a little bit about that. His name is John Nothdurft. That's a tough one. Nothdurft. Is that German? John Nothdurft. He is the resident Heartland Institute expert on budget tax policy matters. And we will talk to him. And it's mostly state matters, so I don't know if he wants to get into this bailout or not, but we'll ask him. So stay tuned, folks. we're going to have some interesting discussion, and I think I might be willing to take a call or two on this bailout before we introduce our guest at 847-931-1410, and we will be back after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I understand we do have a few calls. We're going to take a couple calls, and then we're going to go right to our guest. And we have Mark. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, Kenneth, thanks so much, Mike. You and Kenneth let me get on. And that's right, Kenneth, you've been right. I've been talking to you for the last couple of years about this. We knew this thing was coming, but if they pass this bill, this is just going to destroy this country. It's complete. This is the end of the end.
This is it.
This is over. It's over, in my opinion. I want to say something about calling my senator and congressman. I called both the congressman and in Obama's office, and I did finally get to a person, and they wouldn't even take my name. And they said, oh, we'll pass on your concerns to Mr. Obama and to my congressman. They don't care.
No.
They don't
care. And that proves to me, beyond a shadow of a doubt now, that if Obama was independent during the primary, if he had some sense of independence from the establishment, it's completely gone. He's completely sold out. He understands that he probably wouldn't survive as president unless he goes along with the plan. He's starting to sound like a warmonger now. He voted for the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and now he's supporting this bailout, and he knows better because he's smart. This has nothing to do with saving people's mortgages.
It has nothing to do with it. Nobody will be saved. from this, the bankers will be saved.
That's it. That's it. They got all the benefits, and this guy, Paulson, the Secretary of Treasury, was part of the problem. He's one of those guys that got like a $18.7 million parachute.
Did you hear, Kenneth, that Pelosi, that she had money invested into AIG?
Oh, I'm not surprised. See, that's the thing. I get in trouble when I argue with liberals, Democrats, because I get so irritated emotionally when they keep on saying the Republicans are for the corporations and the Democrats are for the people, and I just want to barf.
Well, I was telling you
because let me finish. Because they are both. If you look at the contributions from corporations and financial institutions, the Democrats and the Republicans are both covered.
They're all in bed, all of them, and it's the end. This is the end. People think that this is just going to change everything. We're all going to be happy, and we're going to walk down with lollipops down the street. I'm sorry, folks. You're right on, Ken. You've been right on for a long time, and I appreciate you guys. Appreciate you, Mike. Thanks for always giving me time.
Now, Mark, one more point. You know, obviously, you can't write anything into a bill that says the Constitution doesn't apply.
Right.
That makes it unconstitutional. The question is, would the Supreme Court actually declare it as such?
That's the whole thing, and I don't think they will. I don't know what.
Yeah. Because of necessity. Because it's a necessity. Either that, or you know, the country goes down the tubes.
And it will go down the tubes, even if they do pass this bill. And you're right.
Yes.
Just further down, just a little bit, stopping it for a little while.
It'll just be a little bit. It'll take a little longer, and it'll be that much worse.
You're right on, Ken. Thank you so much, and a patriot, I'll say again.
Mark, thank you. Appreciate it. All right, quickly to Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, dittos to what Mark said, and I've been saying the same thing. I think it's just ludicrous. In fact, I don't know if you ever watched Neil Cavuto.
Yes.
He called
Ron Paul a genius, an economic genius, by the way.
Well, Well, here's the thing. You know, where's Ron Paul? See, the problem is the people that make sense aren't on TV. Why? Because
Ron Paul's been on a little bit. He's been on Cavuto. He's been on CNN. But he's not on the mainstream. The mainstream will not touch him. They know he's right. He's been predicting this decades ago. And, yeah, you're right. They just ignore him.
You said it. You said it, Ken. No, you said it. Barack Obama's no different than the other guy. See, I can't tell my Democratic friends this. They're so inept. I mean, anybody who's a Democrat's got to be inept. I firmly believe this is a racially motivated vote. And I've been saying that for a long time. I'm not a racist.
Oh, I don't believe that.
I do, because it seems like it's a popularity and a racially motivated.
He sounds presidential. At that debate, McCain lost the presidency, if he ever had a chance, because McCain sounded like an angry old man, and Obama came off as presidential. Now, I'm not talking about the substance of what Obama said, because there's no difference. They're arguing in a vector that is so slim that there's virtually no difference. If you had the third parties debating, you'd see a wide spectrum of opinions. But Obama,
I agree with that. See, the problem is the people, the general public, are so angry right now. They're putting the blame on just the Republicans. And I can't take that, because it's not just Republicans.
No, it's both.
Democrats.
It's both. But the Democrats are for the people.
Yeah, right. Democrats want to take. You know what's going to happen, Ken? We can't afford taxes now. They're going to come down to, we're all going to get taxed. We know it's coming. Eventually, we're going to get hammered with some form of tax. And,
well,
you know, by the time that happens, we can't do anything about it.
Well, the inflation engine is just churning. It's burning up. The motor, the inflation engine motor, is going to burn up any minute.
I'll tell you what. The only thing good is we got one team in the playoffs, and hopefully we'll have another team in the playoffs. That's all I'm looking forward to, because the rest is just crap.
Well, we might as well enjoy our bread and circuses as Rome burns.
Yeah, there you go, buddy. Have a great week, man.
All right. We'll see ya. All right. Let's go right to our guest. John Nofdurft. Is that the correct pronunciation?
It's actually Nodurft. It's a long
Oh, Nodurft. There's an
yeah,
H there, but it's silent.
Yeah, it's silent.
Nodurft. Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
You are the resident policy expert at the Heartland Institute on tax and budget?
I cover budget tax and also tobacco policy.
And tobacco policies.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's interesting. But not alcohol, not just the tobacco aspect?
No, not really. I try to, you know, stay away from that.
Because I noticed, I heard the other, yesterday, that evidently the city of Chicago is going to impose a regulation on bars in around Wrigley Field. They are not going to allow drinking after the seventh inning at the bars.
Yeah, that's I read that. I'm thinking about writing something about that because that's just so ridiculous. For two innings, they think that that's going to solve any problems that would happen. Like, I just don't even get this. All this means is people are going to go take, like, multiple shots and buy all kinds of drinks before the seventh inning starts. It does not, and then they can start drinking after the game.
You're right. It's so ridiculous.
The best part about it, though, the quote from Daly was, "Well, the bars have made enough money this year." That is what he said in response to this.
Well, that reminds me of we do every once in a while. Richie Rain Man Daly on the show. Yeah. You definitely can't let them drink alcohol at eighth inning after something.
Of course you
just can't. Definitely not.
No way.
What a moron. All right, so I know the Heartland Institute basically indulges in state legislative issues, but I don't know if you heard our conversation previous, but we're headed for disaster.
Yeah,
John, with this bailout bill, and I don't know if you want to comment on that or as.
I'll briefly touch on being a nonprofit organization, we really can't take. On any legislation, we can't say we're for it or against it.
Right.
But what I can say is that I think there's a lot better options out there. I think the fundamentals of this, going back, people are blaming this on this being a free market problem, when in fact it was just such a distortion of the free market, these government-sponsored entities lowering money to the, below inflation, the Fed, and all these other, we're becoming... We're so much favoring the housing that it became this big bust, and they asked for it. This is a government; they caused this problem, and they're
through the Federal Reserve fractional banking, which basically is a legalized counterfeiting.
Now, some of the better ideas, I think, I would, if I had a magic wand, I would say that one idea I heard was. Just eliminating or at least putting like a two-year kind of eliminating capital gains taxes for 2 years. If you want capital, why don't you eliminate the, what's disincentivizing people to bring capital to our country? And that's a capital gains tax. You eliminate that, and there's going to be trillions of dollars from overseas that are going to flood into our markets. Why do we need to borrow from taxpayers? Build up more debt, have to borrow more money from China when we have all this money in offshore bank accounts and other countries that could be flowing in. That's really what I don't get.
Well, that makes too much sense.
Of course. They don't like making sense. They want to, we want government to fix it. We don't want, realistic private enterprise to fix it.
I guess that's just a little slightly more realistic than my proposal of getting rid of the Fed and returning to constitutional money.
Well, that's always an idea. Yeah, I don't think they're going to go for that, unfortunately. But I think there are ways of doing it. I think the Republican House, they were saying that they should try to insure these loans instead of actually, taking over these loans. So instead of $700 billion, it would have been only like $50 billion. That would have been vastly better than taking over $700 billion, of loans.
It's really the social. It's the socialization of the financial whole financial industry in this country.
Yeah,
it really is. This legislation calls for financial institutions being agents of the government.
And the thing is, they're not even saying, "Well, this is going to fix the problem." They're saying, "Well, it might fix the problem, but if it doesn't, well, then you guys are on the hook for $700 billion, and that means we're going to have to increase your taxes more." We don't take enough of your money.
Yeah.
That's basically what it comes down to. They don't even know if this is going to work.
Well, so it may work for a few months or 6 months or a year or 2 years, but it's just going to make it so much worse when it collapses
it's
again.
It's putting a patch on a problem which needs to be fundamentally fixed.
Absolutely.
That's basically, even if it does work, like you said, it's only going to, they need to start raising interest rates. They need to, try to figure out a way of getting more capital into our country, you know, through the tax policy. But this is not going to fix the fundamental problems. And then they're saying more regulation
right.
is going to fix the problem. I don't know how more regulation has solved any problem.
And the so-called free market Republicans are leading the charge.
I did read something earlier today. They're trying to get some sort of the Democrats are trying to get a tax on Wall Street in the back door, basically saying, well, if this doesn't work, or even if it does, we're going to make Wall Street pay for this bailout through some sort of tax on Wall Street. So if it does work, then later down the line, we're going to tax Wall Street corporations for this bailout. So it's like, well, then you're just going to cause more problems. So it really doesn't make sense. What do you expect?
Well, yeah, we're headed for some real interesting times, I guess one could say.
Especially with Barack and John McCain, both, they really didn't say anything during the debate.
There's no difference.
They totally avoided the question. They're just like, well, we'll see what they come up with.
No, there was virtually, and even on any substance, the differences are so narrow.
Yeah.
It was such a boring debate. The American people have the right, and they should be given the opportunity to listen to all sides. And that means any third party that has the ability to become president of the United States. Ralph Nader should have been there. Cynthia McKinney should have been there.
That would have been fun. I would have liked to see Cynthia McKinney up there.
Chuck Baldwin and Bob Barr. They all should have been there, and then maybe real issues might have been discussed.
Yeah, I mean, it would be very interesting to see, you know, some of these, you know, other point of views, because, yeah, we're getting a very, very small amount of the views, and it's just like there are other options. I mean, Paulson and Bush, they're all saying, well, it's either the bailout or recession and depression. Well, that's not true.
Right.
And that's basically what everyone in Washington is doing. So if we have, you know, a Bob Barr, or I don't know what Cynthia McKinney would say, but, I mean, if we had those sort of ideas, at least we'd have more ideas on the table. The American public could really see what is going on and you know, get the other points of view out there. But unfortunately, that's not how it works here. So.
Of all the logical fallacies that are employed by government and politicians, I think that's the one they use the most. And it's probably the most hurtful to us, is this false dichotomy that they always present. It's either more regulations by us or everything's going to collapse. That's basically always their position. And government always has nothing to offer but fear itself.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much right. I mean, if the government can't fix it, then no one can fix it. I mean, and usually they can't even fix it. So,
they created the problem in the first place. They says, right. What we need to do is do more of the same.
I think they almost create problems just so they can try to fix things later and then try to take, you know, like, oh, we fixed this.
Okay. Well, that's part of the Hegelian dialectic that they picked up from the commies, I think.
Yeah,
I guess
it's
that's
working
just
well for them. So. Yeah,
absolutely. So let's move on to tobacco a little bit. I don't know if you've done any studies or read any studies on how the restaurants and bars have performed in the state of Illinois after the smoking ban has been passed. But it's my just gut feeling on this and anecdotal evidence that the bars and restaurants are really hurting.
Yeah, especially one of the weird things – well, it's not really that weird, but one of the things is about smoking bans is especially in places that have colder climates such as – Illinois and Chicago, that smoking ban really has a negative effect because, you know, people don't want to have to sit out, you know, stand outside and smoke. And some states are even going to eliminating bars with patios being able to smoke. I mean, they're outdoors and now they can't smoke. So, but what's happening in Chicago is especially the casinos and especially bars are really hurting. Now, there was a study that came out, I think, I want to say in the last 2 weeks, about the Chicago casinos, and they've lost, it was about 30%, I think, of their revenue. I mean, just
that's huge.
Huge. They're all going to Indiana, you know, and going to that whatever casinos they have over there.
These people like to pull those one-armed bandits with one hand and the cigarette in the other.
Exactly. I mean, that's really what it is. And, I mean, it's not like these casinos don't have these, you know, air sort of circulation machines where it's almost cleaner than Chicago's air. I mean, I don't really know where they're going with this.
Well, it's just political correctness, Ron.
Well, I mean, of course. They're saying, well, it's for the kids. Or it's,
everything's for the children.
Everything's for the children. That's usually their big thing, their big selling point. So, yeah, it's not a good thing. It's just, you know, infringement upon our private property rights. That's really what it is.
Absolutely.
There were bars before the smoking ban who were smoke-free.
Yep.
And if you, or restaurants. If you wanted to go to smoke-free, you could. There
and if an employee choices. If employee wanted to work at a smoke-free restaurant, they have every right to do that.
Exactly. In Wichita, Kansas, for instance, before their smoking ban, 75% of the bars and restaurants were already smoke-free, and they still passed the smoking ban. So they're just really making smokers into second-class citizens. I mean, I don't even smoke, but, like,
right.
I find it truly ridiculous that if I wanted to go to a smoke-free place or a smoking place, that I can't go.
I have this romantic vision of someday visiting Ireland and going through the country pubs, you know, and hearing some poetry and in this smoke-filled room while drinking some Irish ale. And
right.
You can't do that in Ireland. It's all smoke-free.
Yeah, I know. What happened to the smoky, you know, jazz clubs where, you know, that
right.
was good times.
Oh, I mean, that's what brought upon that the jazz DJ's voice.
Yeah,
they're just trying
to limit consumer choice. That's all they're doing by these smoking bans. They're not protecting people's health. It's such a small, I just don't realize, it's just them trying to say, look, we're looking out for you, we're trying to protect you, and it's an easy thing to pass because not the majority smoke. It's a minority
right.
of the
right.
population,
right.
and that's all they do.
So has there been any significant backlash enough of this so that there's any inkling of seeing a repeal of any of these in Illinois or any other? Well, Illinois would be the last repeal anything, but last state, but maybe it's somewhere else in this country.
You know what? There's nothing really. They're still on the smoking kick. We're smoking ban. We're trying to get into where we can actually show them what's going on. A lot of these states, maybe not a full repeal of smoking ban, but there have been states who have went back and put in exemptions for bars and restaurants. And stuff like that. So I think that's kind of, you're going to have to get there before you actually eliminate it.
Right.
You know, but in Europe, there has been quite a few boycotts and sort of kind of this rumbling underneath of people kind of coming out against this. So I think there is a trend. It's going to take a while because they're still in this, you know, nanny state sort of, you know, these organizations are just throwing so much scare tactics out there that it's going to be a long process. But we did actually, our neighbor state, Michigan, they actually voted down a smoking ban a couple weeks ago. So that was very, very big for us.
Very good.
To
all
see
right.
that. So there are states that actually do have some sense.
we're talking with John Noderft of the Heartland Institute is a resident expert on tobacco and tax and budget matters. Phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Oh, by the way, before we break for a few messages, I wanted you to mention that you have your annual dinner coming up this Thursday. Why don't you give us details on that?
Yeah, we sure do. It's our 24th anniversary benefit dinner. Like you said, it's going to be Thursday, October 2nd. It's going to be at the Chicago Hilton. Downtown. It starts, open bar starts at 5:30 and dinner's at 7, and we're going to have a immigration debate. We got one person who's very much, you know, open borders, and the other guy, you know.
And that's Jacob Bumper Homburger, who is open borders,
yes.
arguing for free immigration. It should be really interesting, and opposing is
Peter Brimelow.
Right.
Who's, you know, very much against that, and he's actually, I believe, he's an immigrant himself, so that kind of gives a very interesting take on that. It should be really, really interesting.
That should be a great debate.
Yeah.
Looking for. Well, hoping I can. I got so many things going on. I don't know if I can make it, but I really want to try. All right. 847-931-1410. Give us a call, and we will be right back.
Mommy, why do we have a government?
There are lots of reasons, like to make sure we have soldiers to protect our country, to build our roads.
To give us all the things we need.
Well, no, they can't do that.
That's what I heard on TV.
Oh, that was probably just some politician trying to get people to vote for him. Our government is supposed to be limited by the Constitution, But those in government just ignore it. That's why our country is in such a mess.
Then why don't you and Daddy stop it?
Well, we'd like to, but we don't know how.
If you feel like the mother in this message, you are not alone. But there is something you can do. Join us at the next meeting of the Fox Valley Freedom Coalition, a diverse group of people like yourself who are fed up with the status quo. We meet at MT Barrels, 98 West Main Street, which is Route 72, just west of the Fox River in West Dundee, on the first Saturday of the month at 5 p.m. For more information, call Jarrett at 224-402-8148. That's 224-402-8148. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your children.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with John Noder from the Heartland Institute. I need to make one correction before we move on. The Fox Valley Freedom Coalition is now meeting the second Saturday of the month at 5 o'clock also, but now it's at the Main Street Cafe in Algonquin, which is on Route 31 just south of Algonquin Avenue. So that's Main Street Cafe. We're no longer in East Dundee. All right. Let's move on. John, what do you say we go to the phones?
Let's do it.
All right. We have, I believe, John on the line. Hey, John.
Hi, Ken. John, I was wondering if you're familiar with the Prevent All Cigarette Trafficking Act of 2008 that just passed the House?
Here in Chicago or Illinois?
This is a federal...
Okay. Yeah, they're trying to... is this the law trying to prevent, basically, cross-border trafficking and all that stuff?
It's to, apparently to prevent phone and internet sales of cigarettes, and they equate... the people that are doing it with Hezbollah, Hamas, and Al-Qaeda.
I didn't know that that's how they figured it out. Wow.
Yeah, it's right in Section 1 of the bill.
Here, that's crazy. I know that bill was up for, looking at it and all that stuff, because that's been one of their big things is the Internet. They're trying to tax it. But the fact that they're trying to link it to Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah, that's... I hadn't read that part of it, so I'm definitely going to look into that because that's quite interesting. I want to see how they came to that conclusion.
Yeah, it's peculiar. And then I was wondering if you were aware that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms are raiding Indian tribes that sell cigarettes.
Yeah, that's kind of been a thorn in the government's side, Indian tribes that sell cigarettes. I know in New York, the governor was meeting with the tribes there because they're trying to tax them now. That's their whole thing. They're like, well, our tax is so high that maybe if we start, raiding or really causing problems for these Indian tribes, that we'll be able to get some tax revenue out of them. So that's really what they're trying to do there, and that's unfortunately becoming a bigger issue. So,
yeah,
very unfortunate. But.
So... correct me if I'm wrong. I think these Indian tribes are supposed to be in these reservations, sovereign nations. Basically.
Right, they are exempt from a lot of these things unless they've agreed somehow, made agreement with the government. But yeah,
right.
A lot of these places, like in New York, you can go on one of these reservations and buy tax-free cigarettes, etc. Because they are not under our law per se.
Right. But I'm sure, yeah, the government's going
to
use any kind
they're
of force
trying to get
they
their,
can.
Yeah, they're trying to take a piece of the pie. They're losing a lot of revenue through them, so now they need to go in and try to get some more from them. So.
I think the Lakota Sioux Free Nation out there with Russell Means, it's looking more inviting all the time.
It's where freedom still exists. So.
Right.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. No caller. Okay. All right. Well, we have a mess as far as tax policy in the state too. The expenditures keep on going up in the state legislature, and of course the proposal is to increase the state income tax, and promises to reduce property taxes. To fund the unequitable education system in the state.
Yeah. This. It's just not a smart idea at all. One of the good things about the state of Illinois is they have a relatively low income tax. They have an extremely high, all the other taxes, sales taxes and stuff. But, they have a reasonably low income tax. And these tax...
Of course, there are six states that don't have any income tax.
Well, yeah,
I came from
Texas, which was great. There's no income tax whatsoever. It's wonderful, and it's also one of the fastest growing states. Imagine that.
Surprise, surprise.
Income tax is one of the most detrimental taxes to economic growth that there is. And these tax swaps, they're always a tax increase. Almost always. They try to lower some taxes that really are hitting at you, like a property tax, and then try to increase other taxes, and they're going to get more money from you. Every single time.
Every single really time. They'll promise the world, and they'll give you a little, and then it'll just slide back up.
They might even try to sell it. They might even try to figure out the numbers so that it looks like it's either even or even maybe a slight decrease in the amount of money. But it's almost always going to be a tax increase. And the income tax is the worst tax that you can raise.
It destroys all incentives to be productive.
Exactly. We have all these taxes on productivity, investments, and savings, and we need to eliminate these taxes. You do not need taxes on good behavior like saving, investing. That's why the capital gains tax, we're discouraging people investing in our economy. And they just don't realize. It's like, well, we'll do it anyways. It makes no sense. I don't know why they do it. They just need more money for the kids.
For the children. Massachusetts, again, one more time, these libertarians have got on the ballot a proposition to eliminate the state income tax.
Yeah, this should be really interesting. I know they're very – the last time they put it up, they got, I think, 40% of the vote.
At least.
Without almost no actual, organized fight for it. So – This could be really interesting. Now, I have read recently that the oppositions, the unions, all these other, I think it was, teachers associations, they're all coming out after this, and they're putting millions of dollars into fighting this. Because they're like, well, this could be serious because they got quite a good chunk of the vote last time. But it'll be one of those, one of these ballot initiatives to really look into come the election, because the election's not going to be that interesting. It's just going to be more of the same. But some of these ballots in some of these states is going to be really interesting.
It should be interesting. And if that proposition succeeds in Massachusetts,
right. Excuse me,
I would have to say that that might be a shot heard around the U.S. The beginning of the revolution.
Well, we can certainly hope so. There's a couple like that, nothing that extreme. That's definitely the biggest, most bold proposal out there. And the fact that they could even get it on the ballot without the government calling foul on it somehow, because they always try to way of taking
of
it.
Of course.
Like, well, no, these votes aren't right or something.
Maybe there's more honest socialists in Massachusetts than the unlawful police state fascists we have here in Illinois.
I guess, well, Illinois. I recently moved here, and I'm...
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry that you had to move to
Illinois.
It's pretty crazy. I read the paper and almost want to cry each day. So I love the city, I love the state, but the government here is just...
Did Joe Bast warn you of the politics
no,
here
they
in
didn't,
Illinois?
And I feel very much misled on that whole issue.
I'd have a word with him if I were you. All right, well, why don't you plug one more time the really interesting annual benefit dinner you have coming up.
Yeah, our benefit dinner, once again, it's Thursday, October 7th. You need to get in. These tickets are going fast. And if you need a ticket, you can either call us here at 312-377-4000 or go to our website heartland.org. And it's right on the front page, the benefit dinner, and you can get your ticket that way. So it should be really interesting. The immigration debate is going to be very, very interesting because it's kind of one of those issues that, especially in the libertarian stream, that there's a lot of, no one really knows where to stand. Well, do we want to open borders or do we want to kind of...
It's a complicated issue.
It really is. So we'll see, but it should be a really great thing. And we hope that as many of you guys can come as possible. So
we're talking with John Noder from the Heartland Institute. Phone number here is 847-931-1410, and we will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. John Nordorf, thank you very much for being on the show today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All righty, we'll see you Thursday, I hope.
All right.
Okay, on to the quotation of the week. This from Frederick Bastiat. Government is the great fiction through which everybody endeavors to live at the expense of everybody else.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.